这个是我的朋友傅先生，我姓高，您贵姓？
高林。啊，是。
S Frog, sir.
Shut up. I want to have a word with you.
S Frog, sir.
Shut up. It's about your advertising campaign for Conquistador Coffee. Now, I've had the managing director of Conquistador to see me this morning, and he's very unhappy with your campaign. Very unhappy. In fact, he shot himself.
Badly, sir?
No, extremely well. Well, before he went, he left a note with the company secretary. The effect of which was how disappointed he was with your work, and in particular, why you had changed the name Conquistador Instant Coffee to Conquistador Instant Leprosy. Why, Frog?
S Frog, sir.
Shut up. Why did you do it?
It was a joke.
A joke?
No, not a joke. A sales campaign.
I see, Frog.
Aye, S Frog, sir.
Shut up. Now, let's have a look at the sales chart. When you took over this account, Frog, Conquistador was brand leader. Here you introduced your first campaign. Conquistador coffee brings a new meaning to the word vomit. Here, you made your special introductory offer of a free dead dog with every jar. And this followed your second campaign, the tingling fresh coffee which brings you exciting new cholera, mange, sepsis, dropsy, the clap, hard pack, and athlete's head. From the house of Conquistador.
It was a soft sell, sir.
Why, Frog?
S Frog, sir.
Shut up! Well?
Well, people know the name, sir.
They certainly do know the name. They burnt the factory down. The owner is hiding in my bathroom. The owner was hiding in my bathroom.
You're not going to fire me, sir.
Fire you? Three men dead, the factory burnt down, the account lost, and our firm completely bankrupt? What can you possibly say? What excuse can you possibly make?
Sorry, Father.
Oh, yes, obviously. Oh, incidentally, your film's won a prize.
For something completely, completely different.
Itch.
Monty Python's a flying circus.
Stanley Baldwin's Conservative government is defeated and Ramsay MacDonald becomes, for the second time, Prime Minister of England.
Mm. My, it's hot in here.
A fiver down, must be my final offer.
Well, I don't really want to sell them. I've come for a job.
Oh, take a seat.
Thank you.
I see you chose the canvas chair with the aluminium frame. I'll throw that in.
That and the fiver for the briefcase and the umbrella. Now, make it fair. The briefcase and the umbrella and the 2 pence in your breast pocket and the chair's yours and a fiver and a pair of ex-German U-boat commander's binoculars.
Well, really, they're not for sale.
Not for sale? What does that mean?
No, I came about the advertisement for the job of assistant editor.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, how much is your experience in journalism?
5 years.
Right, typing speed?
50.
O-levels?
8.
A-levels?
2.
Right. Well, I'll give you the job. Oh. And the chair, and an all-wall ex-army sleeping bag for the briefcase, the umbrella, the pens in your breast pocket, and your string vest.
Oh, when do I start?
Monday.
Oh, that's marvellous.
If you throw in the shoes as well. Hello, Miss Johnson, can we have 2 coffee and biscuits, please?
1 coffee and 1 biscuit for the 2 ex-army greatcoats and the alarm clock on the mantelpiece.
2 ex-army greatcoats and the alarm clock and a table lamp for 2 coffees and biscuits.
2 greatcoats and 2 table lamps.
2 greatcoats, 1 table lamp and a desert boot.
For 2 coffee and biscuits?
Done.
Done.
So Miss Johnson returned to her typing and dreamed her little dreamy dreams, unaware as she was of the cruel trick fate had in store for her. For Miss Johnson was about to fall victim of the dreaded international Chinese communist conspiracy. Yes, these fanatical fiends, under the leadership of the so-called Mao Tse-Tung, had caught Miss Johnson off guard for one brief but fatal moment. And destroyed her, just as they are ready to do any time free men anywhere waver in their defense of democracy. Yes, once again, American defense proves its effectiveness against international communism. Using this diagram of a tooth to represent any small country, we can see how international communism works by eroding away from the inside. When one country or tooth falls victim to international communism, its neighbors soon follow. In dentistry, this is known as the domino theory. But with American defense, the decay is stopped before it starts. And that's why 9 out of 10 small countries choose American defense.
Or Crelm toothpaste with a miracle ingredient, Fraudulin. The white car represents Crelm toothpaste with a miracle ingredient, Fraudulin. The not white car represents another toothpaste.
This toothpaste provides 30% protection. At 60% protection, both toothpastes are doing well. And now at 90% protection, the... Wait! The not white car is out! And Crown Toothpaste goes on to win with 100% protection! Yes, do like all smart motorists. Choose Crown Toothpaste.
Or Shrill Petrol with the new additive GLC-942-4075. After 6 p.m, 942-4047. Using this white card to represent engine deposits and this black card to represent Shrill's new additive GLC-942-4075 after 6 p.m, 942-4077, we can see how the engine deposits are pushed off the face of the earth by the superior forces available to Shrill... Wow.
John, you can catch the 11:30 from Hornchurch and be at Basingstoke by 1 o'clock. Oh, and there's a buffet car and... Oh! Daddy!
My hat, Sir Horace!
Has he been?
Yes, after breakfast. That doesn't matter now, he's dead.
Oh, poor Daddy.
Looks like I shan't be catching the 11:30 now.
Oh, no, John. You mustn't miss your train.
How could I think of catching a train when I should be here helping you?
John, thank you. Anyway, you could always catch the 9:30 tomorrow. It goes by Caterham, Chipstead.
Oh, the 9:45 is even better.
Oh, but you'd have to change at Land's Green.
Yes, but there's only a 7-minute wait.
Oh, yes, of course. I'd forgotten it was Friday. Oh, who could have done this?
Oh, do hurry, Sir Horace. Your train leaves in 28 minutes. If you don't catch the 10:15, you won't catch the 3:45, which leaves the 2... Oh!
I'm afraid Sir Horace won't be catching the 10:15, Lady Partridge.
Has he been...
Yes, after breakfast.
Lady Partridge, I'm afraid you can cancel his seat reservation.
Oh, and it was back to the engine, fourth coach along, so that he could see the gradient signs outside Swanborough.
Not anymore, Lady Partridge. The line's been closed.
Closed? Not Swanborough?
I'm afraid so.
All right, nobody move. I'm Inspector Davis of Scotland Yard.
My word, you were here quickly, Inspector.
Yeah, I got the 8:55 Pullman Express from the Inspector. Sir Peter Grand Hornchurch.
It's a very good train.
Oh, it's an excellent train. This one, if you want to go.
Hey, everyone.
Tony.
Where's Daddy? Oh, golly. Has he been...
Yes, after breakfast.
Then he won't be needing his reservation on the 10:15.
Exactly.
And I suppose, as his eldest son, it must go to me.
Just a minute, Tony. There's a small matter of murder.
Oh, but surely he simply shot himself and then hid the gun. How could anyone shoot himself and then hide the gun without first cancelling his reservation? Well, I must dash, or I'll be late for the 10:15.
I suggest you murdered your father for his seat reservation.
I may have had the motive, Inspector, but I could not have done it. For I've only just arrived from Gillingham on the 8:13, and here's my restaurant car ticket to prove it.
The 8:13 from Gillingham doesn't have a restaurant car.
It's a standing buffet only.
Did I say the 8:13? I meant the 7:58 stopping train.
But the 7:58 stopping train arrived at Swindon at 8:19, owing to annual point maintenance at Withborough Junction.
So how did you make the connection with the 8:13, which left 6 minutes earlier?
Simple. I caught the 7:16 football special arriving at Swindon at 8:09.
The 7:16 football special only stops at Swindon on alternate Saturdays.
Yes, surely you mean the holidaymaker special.
Oh, yes. How daft of me. Of course, I came on the holidaymaker special, calling it Bedford, Combworth, Fendetton, Sutton, Wallington and Gillingham.
That's Sundays only.
Damn. All right, I confess I did it. I killed him for his reservation. But you won't take me alive! I'm going to throw myself under the 10:12 from Wedding.
Don't be a fool, Tony. Don't do it. The 10:12 has the new narrow traction bogies. You wouldn't stand a chance.
Exactly.
That was an excerpt from the latest West End hit, It All Happened on the 11:20 from Hainault, to Redhill via Horsham and Reigate, calling at Carlshaughton Beaches, Malmesbury, Tooting Beck and Croydon West. The author is Mr. Neville Shunt. Some people have made the mistake of seeing Shunt's work as a load of rubbish about railway timetables. But clever people, like me, who talk loudly in restaurants, see this as a deliberate ambiguity, a plea for understanding in a mechanised world. The points are frozen, the beast is dead. What is the difference? What, indeed, is the point? The point is frozen, the beast is laid out of Paddington. The point is taken. If La Fontaine's elk would spurn Tom Jones, the engine must be our head, the dining car our esophagus, the guard's van our left lung, the kettle truck our shins, the first-class compartment, the piece of skin at the nape of the neck, and the level crossing an electric elk called Simon. The clarity is devastating. But where is the ambiguity? It's over there in a box. Shunt is saying the 8:15 from Gillingham, when in reality it means the 8:13 from Gillingham. The train is the same, only the time is altered. Eke homo, ergo elk. La Fontaine knew its sister and knew her bloody well. The point is taken. The beast is molting, the fluff gets up your nose. The illusion is complete. It is reality, the reality is illusion, and the ambiguity is the only truth. But is the truth, as Hitchcock observes, in the box? No, there isn't room. The ambiguity is put on weight. The point is taken. The elk is dead. The beast stops at Swindon. Chabot stops at nothing. I'm having treatment, and La Fontaine can get knotted.
Gavin Millar was not talking to Neville Shunt. From the world of the theatre, we turn to the world of dental hygiene. No. From the world of the theatre, we turn to the silver screen. We honour one of the silver screen's outstanding writer-dentists, a writer-directors, Martin Curry, who is visiting London to have a tooth out for the premolar, a premiere of his filling film next Tuesday, Tuesday, at the Dental Theatre. Film theatre. Martin Curry talking to Matthew Pallett, a Paget.
Martin Curry, welcome. Now, one of the big teeth that the, big points that the American critics made about your latest film, The Twelve Caesars, was that it was on so all-embracing a topic. Now, what made you undertake so enormous a task?
I've always been interested in Imperial Rome, right from Julius Caesar right through to Vespasian.
Who?
Vespasian.
Oh, Vespasian.
Yes.
Yes. Well, when I saw your film, it did seem to me that you'd taken a rather... subjective approach to it.
I'm sorry?
Well, I mean, all your main characters had these enormous... Well, not enormous, but these very big... let's have a look at a clip in which Julius and Caesar, talks to his generals during the battle against Caractacus.
Don't do that at all.
Shall I order the cavalry that they may hide themselves in the wood, O Caesar?
Brothers, O Caesar!
Today is about to be a triumph for our native country.
Well, Martin Curry, why do all your characters have these very big, teeth?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, even in your biblical epic, the Son of Man, John the Baptist, had the most enormous dental appendages, and, of course, himself had the most monumental ivories.
No, I'm afraid I don't see that at all.
Could
I have a straw?
Oh, a straw, yes. While we're doing that, perhaps we take another look at an earlier film, Trafalgar.
Cover my coat, Mr. Bush. The man must not know of this till victory is ours.
The surgeon's coming, sir.
No. Tell the surgeon to attend the men that can be saved. He can do little for me, I fear.
Aye, aye, sir.
Hardy! Hardy!
Sir!
Put your hand on my thigh.
Well, Martin Curry, thank you. We asked the first night audience what they thought of that film.
It wasn't true to life.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
I thought it was totally bizarre.
Well, I've been in the city for over 40 years, and I think the importance of looking after poor people cannot be understressed.
Well, I've been in the city for 20 years, and I must admit, I'm lost.
Well, I've been in the city all my life, and I'm as alert and active as I've ever been.
Well, I've been in the city since I was 2, and I certainly wouldn't say that I was stuck in a rut. Stuck in a rut. Stuck in a rut. Stuck in a rut. Stuck in a rut.
Mr. Bullsky, stuck in a rut.
I certainly wouldn't say that I was stuck in a rut.
Well, I've been in the city for 30 years, and I never once regretted being a nasty, greedy, cold-hearted, avaricious money grubber. Conservative!
Well, I've been in the city for 27 years, and I'd like to see the reintroduction of fogging. Every Thursday, round at my place.
Well, I've been in the city for 33 years, and I've never regretted it.
Neither have I.
Neither have I.
Yes,
I think it must be a naturalist outing.
No, I think it must be one of them crackpot religions.
This is an example of the sort of abuse you get all the time from ignorant people. I inherited this religion from my father, an ex-used car salesman and part-time window box. And I am very proud to be in charge of the first religion with free gifts. You get this luxury tea trolley with every new enrollment. In addition to this, you can win a 3-piece lounge suite, this luxury caravan, a weekend for two with Peter Bonetti, and tonight's star prize, the entire Norwich City Council. And remember, with only 8 scoring draws, you can win a bishopric in a see of your own choice. You see, we have a much more modern approach to religion. Yes, it is Arthur Crackpot and all his subsidiaries limited. You see, in our church, we have a lot more fun.
Oh, Mrs. Collins, you did say you were nervous, didn't you? You have eyes on the comic machine?
Oh, I don't mind. It's just nice to be here, Reverend.
I'm speaking. Well, you asked for the coffee machine, so let's see what you've won. You chose him 437. Oh, Mrs. Collins. You had eyes on the coffee machine. Well, you have won tonight's star prize, the entire Norwich City Council.
I've got one already.
A lot of religions, no names, no pack deal, do go for the poorer type of person. Face it, there's more of them. Poor people, thieves, villains, poor people without no money at all. Well, we don't have none of that tat. Rich people and crumpet over 16 can enter free. Upper middle class, quite welcome. Lower middle class, not under 5 grand a year. Lower class, I can't touch it. There's no return on it, you see.
Do you have any difficulty converting people?
No, well, we have ways of making them join.
Norman there does a lot of converting, a lot of protection, that sort of thing. And there's his mate, Bruce Beer. Brucey has personally converted 92 people, 25 inside the distance. Then again, we're not afraid to use more modern methods.
Sarah, today's diocesan lovely is enough to make any chap go down on his knees. This 23-year-old bishop hails appropriately enough from Bishop Stortford and lists her hobbies as swimming, riding and film producers. What a guess. Bet she's no novice when it comes to converting all in her sea.
Basically, I believe in peace and bashing two bricks together!
I'm starting a war for peace.
Oh, blimey! I'm raising polecats for peace.
Peace? I like a peace. Know what I mean? Know what I mean? Say no more, next time.
Our religion is the first church to cater for the naughty type of person. If you like a bit of love your neighbour, and who doesn't now and again, then see Vera and Cicely during the hymns.
In our church, we try to help people to help themselves. To cars, washing machines, lead piping, no questions asked. We are the only church, apart from the Baptists, to do respray jobs.
We in the Church of the Divine Loony believe in the power of prayer to turn the head purple!
I'd like to come in here for a moment, if I may, and disassociate our church from these frivolous and offensive religions. We are primarily concerned with what is best... Hello? Oh. Well, how about Allied Breweries? All right, but keep the Rio Tinto. For the human soul.
In our church, we believe first and foremost in you. We want you to think of us as your friend.
In this picture, there are 40 people. None of them can be seen. In this film, we hope to show you how not to be seen. This is Mr. E.R. Bradshaw, Naked Court, Black Lion Road, Southeast 5. He cannot be seen. Now, I'm going to ask him to stand up. Mr. Bradshaw, will you stand up, please? This demonstrates the value of not being seen. In this picture, we cannot see Mrs. B.J. Smegma of 13 The Crescent, Belmont. Mrs. Smegma, will you stand up, please? This is Mr. Nesbitt of Harlow, Newtown. Mr. Nesbitt, would you stand up, please? Mr. Nesbitt has learnt the first lesson of not being seen, not to stand up. However, he has chosen a very obvious piece of cover. Mr. E.B. Lambert of Holmlea, the Burrows, Oswestry, has presented us with a poser. We do not know which bush he is behind, but we can soon find out. Yes, it was the middle one. Mr. Ken Andrews of Leighton Road, Slough, has concealed himself extremely well. He could be almost anywhere. He could be behind the wall, inside the water barrel, beneath a pile of leaves, up in the tree, squatting down behind the car, concealed in a hollow, or crouched behind any one of 100 bushes. However, we happen to know he's in the water barrel. Mr. and Mrs. Watson of Ivy Cottage, Warbleston Road, Hull, chose a very cunning way of not being seen. When we called at their house, we found they had gone away on 2 weeks' holiday. They had not left any forwarding address, and they had bolted and barred the house to prevent us getting in. However, a neighbour told us where they were. Ah! And here is the neighbour who told us where they were. Nobody likes it, nobody. And this is where he lived. And this is where Lord Langdon lived, who refused to speak to us. And so did the gentleman who lived here, and here, and, of course, here. And Manchester, and the West Midlands, Spain, China.
Well, I'm afraid we have to stop the film there. Some of the scenes which followed were of a violent nature, which might have proved distressing to some of our viewers. Though not to me, I can tell you. In Nova Scotia today, Mr. Roy Bent of North Walsham in Norfolk became the first man to cross the Atlantic on a tricycle. His tricycle, specially adapted for the crossing, was 90 foot long with a protective steel hull, 3 funnels, 17 first-class cabins, and a radar scanner. Mr. Bent is in our Durham studios, which is rather unfortunate, as we're all down here in London. And in London, I have with me Mr. Ludovic Grayson, the man who scored all 6 goals in Arsenal's 1-0 victory over the Turkish champions FC Botti. Ludovic, first of all, congratulations on the victory.
Thank you, David.
Should send you back to Botti with a big lead.
Oh, yes, we're fairly confident, David.
Well, at the moment, Ludovic, you're crouching down inside a filing cabinet.
Yes, that's right, David. I'm trying not to be seen.
I see. Is this through fear?
Oh, no, it's common sense, really. If they can't see you, they can't get you.
But, of course, they can still hear you.
Huh?
Ludovic Grayson, thank you very much for coming on the programme tonight. And we end the show with music. And here with their latest recording, Yummy, 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 I've Got Love in My Tummy, Jackie Charlton and the Tonettes.
Those of you who may have just missed Monty Python's Flying Circus, here it is again.
The loving that you're giving is what keeps me living.